Hi, I wanted to welcome you to Raising Playful Tots. My name's Melitza. I hope this show is a place where mothers like you can safely explore a slower, simpler, and playful lifestyle so that you can get to the heart of what your family needs to thrive both now and in the years to come. Today I'm going to talk about how we can get summer right for our family. Summer is the perfect time for what we're going to talk about today, and that's life skills. I have a bumper list that I have, and I'm going to share some of them with you today. I've also got a Mother's Day question and my experiences at a recent conference. So I think we'll get started. There's a lot for us to go through today. I am getting excited that the kids will be home for the summer. Here in this part of Georgia, they finish school the third week in May, and it blows my mind because in the UK, that's usually the Whitsun holiday half-term week. So yes, we are off as well as school, but then we go back for the last half of the summer term. So the boys and I are feeling like we have really lost half a term. Well, except for the fact that in England, you go back to school in September, but here in Georgia, we go back to school in August. So I get it, it's not quite the same, but in time-wise, it feels really odd to make that shift that very soon we are all going to be off school and everybody's going to be home. Summertime with the kids is a great time to create the rhythm that you want. There's acres of time to establish rhythms, try different things, change things, and find a rhythm that works for you and your family. I've talked about this in Creating a Summer Rhythm. So if you'd like to check out that podcast, it's called Create a Simple Summer Rhythm, and it's show number 139. So if you just do raisingplayfultots.com/139, that will take you straight to that show. So if you're interested in looking at creating a summer rhythm that's right for just your family, because that's what we do on the show here, we're not trying to tell you a way to do it, but show you many different ways, and you find the way that really suits and enhances your family. Rhythms can be a little looser during the summer. For our family, it's always worked best for us to establish some sort of summer rhythm and then transition as we get closer to the start of school. With no schoolwork, there's lots of opportunity for longer time to spend on creating and unstructured play. We as a family do have work that we do, and we call that homework. And it's work that we all do. Don't necessarily all do it together, but we've always tried to establish the fact that school isn't the only place that we have learning. So just because we're not in school doesn't mean that we're not going to be doing any work, because it brings all sorts of problems. I do understand that the children need to rest and relax and have a break, especially if they've just been having testing or anything like that, that they need a break too. So summer is a delicate blend and balance of having long unstructured days sometimes, and sometimes where we'll be doing work, and mixing it up so that it works for the family. From time to time, the kids have been used to seeing us sitting down and doing work, both my husband and I, and sometimes all of us as a family, we sit down and do something together. It doesn't always happen like that, I must admit. And sometimes we sit and we just read. We're all in the same room and we're reading our book and really getting into it. Sometimes we're working on a writing project. I'm looking up and researching something and the kids are doing the same and my husband's working on his work. And it's kind of cool to look up and see that we're all busy working on something and knowing that we're doing it sometimes for enjoyment and sometimes because we just have to. The best thing at the moment for us is that we are looking at our summer schedule, trying to decide what we're going to do. So instead of summer being all about what everybody else wants us to do, we are trying to decide as a family how we're going to do summer. What will be the fun things that we're going to do? What are the work things that we're going to do? And so that means that we are having a really long list of things. And we're trying to choose what's right for our family. In the past, we've had summer bucket lists, and I have a show all about summer bucket lists and summer learning, and I'll leave a link for that in the show notes for you to be able to go and see that. But right now we're planning our summer, and I have a long list of fun things I've been collecting all year in Evernote. Every time I could think of something, or I went to Hobby Lobby, which was always the big problem, or I overheard somebody say, or I read something online, or I noticed something that was missing that I thought, oh, we haven't done that in a while, I just jotted it down under summer notes in Evernote. So it's on my phone, and my phone's usually with me. And so I have this really big, long list now of ideas to do for the boys. And so we're going to be bringing them out and trying to decide which ones are the ones that will work for our family and which ones are we going to kind of skip. But it's nice to just have ideas that are about. I'm excited to try a few new things like wood burning, and we're going to tackle some watercoloring for sure. We've got some paper, so we'll be able to do that. We're growing some tomatoes at the moment and a few herbs and vegetables in pots, and I really hope that they can stay alive long enough for us to be able to use them, eat them, and be able to really cultivate them and enjoy them. It's been fun watching them grow so far, so I hope they can stay alive long enough that they can continue. What with the hot sun of Georgia here, it's a challenge to make sure we don't overwater. And spoil them or not give them enough water at all. It's difficult when you're used to England where it rains so much, you don't really have to worry about those types of things. So it's been a bit of a process. So at the moment we have alive and living second time around some tomatoes. Summer is a great time to finally get to some of the things that we've been putting off all year because of time, perhaps. Maybe it was the kids weren't ready, or maybe you weren't ready. There's all those things you kept saying, oh, that's a really good idea, but I just haven't got time to do it right now. Kids always want more rights. They always want to be able to do more things. Things like, can I ride my bike by myself to this place, maybe a friend's house down the road, or to that place, in a woodland area or somewhere just off the beaten track, for example. And we've been saying no all year for good reasons. We've got good reasons, but some of those reasons, it's because we knew they didn't have good road safety, or they didn't pay attention when they were on that bike and they wobbled all over the road and they couldn't tell what time it was. So every time you went to collect them from the neighbor's house, there was lots of drama. There were lots of things that you thought, if only I had time to teach them how to do that. There wasn't time then, but during the summer, we have a little bit more time to teach them these types of things so that they could go and do some of these things. If you wanted them to do, you would feel more comfortable now because you know I have taught them some of those skills, so it will be easier. Because we've got summertime, we can practice these life skills or practical skills. Now, I choose summertime because we spend a lot of time together. There is a big amount of space for us to practice and develop these habits, but these can be done at any time during the year. In fact, many of these things, as I go through some of these lists, you'll think, well, I do these all the time, and that's great. I'm just saying right now, if this is something that you want to focus on, summertime is a really good time to do this. If you listen to the last part of my mission statement that I say at the very beginning of every show now, I say something like needs to thrive both now and in the years to come. Now, that's really important, the years to come, because we're not just raising children for right now, the homes and places that we live, but we're raising them as future travelers. They might be living in another part of the world. And we're raising them that they won't be living with us. They'll be living by themselves, maybe having families and partnerships of their own in the future. So there's lots of life skills that we can start, encourage, nurture, and do right from now, whatever their age. Summertime is a great time to really focus on these practical skills for the upcoming year. And we like to try and do this as a family and focus on some of the things that we think that's important. During our contributions time each day, we're usually working on some sort of practical skill or life skill somewhere along in there. But like everyone, we don't get to everything and contributions sometimes go by the way. I'm talking today also in broad terms, so with toddlers and preschoolers, children that are under 5. We're also talking about midhood, which is children between 5 and 9. That's a term I coined, midhood, to describe that in-between age. They're not quite tweens yet, who are 10 to 12, and they're above the five-year-olds. They're kind of in the middle there, middle of childhood, midhood. And then we've got the teens that are 13 plus. When we look at our families, we have a huge range of children, possibly, with what they can do and what they can't do with practical skills. Age isn't everything. So you might have an older child that's quite immature. You might have a younger child that's quite mature, and all the different variations that you can have inside of that. So it's not just about age. Sometimes there are other considerations. There's also the law. We have to be careful that we are following the laws of the land as well. I'm going to share a list of life skills in no particular order, and that's deliberate because I didn't want to decide on your part for your family, and you didn't need me to tell you what age group that should be doing this particular work. I want you to decide that for yourself, especially since you know your child more than I do. It's not about their age. Sometimes it's about their experience, their maturity, and their needs. And sometimes it is about the law of the land too. This list isn't what we expect to achieve for the whole of the summer, don't get me wrong, because I have over 100 different practical skills that I've written down. But it's something that we'll be sharing as a family. It was really a good experience to just write down all the things that I think that they should be able to do at some point. It's not everything, and I will constantly think of others, but the whole process of just writing some of these ideas is quite amazing. I then actually ran them by my oldest, who's 12, and showed him all the things that he is actually able to do, and he was really shocked that he could do so many of the things on the list. Well, that's not too difficult, because obviously I wrote the list, and they're things that we would be doing in our family. But he noticed that there were things that he hasn't done yet that he would really like to learn how to do. So that was pretty special, and I would really encourage you to do the same. Write your own list. Let these list items that I'm giving you be a trigger. Get you thinking about what you want your family to be doing. What life skills, what practical skills would you like them to do? Just the act of writing all of these things down was really good, because now I have a direction and I can see that there will be some fun times ahead in the future of learning and doing with the boys during the summer, because I'm not just going to be pulled every which way. I can see that there are certain things that he will want to be able to do, and we can actually do them, so that will be fun. So let's start with that list here. I had to print them out because there were so many of them. Now, as a traveling family, like many of us are, we move quite regularly. And so every 4 or 5 years or 2 or 3 years, you might find that you're in a new place. So this might seem a really young thing to do, but what to do if you get lost? This is an essential life skill. You will know now yourself what to do if your child is lost inside a shopping area. Do they know where to go, who to talk to, and what to do? That's really important. What happens if you're lost and you're traveling on your bike, for example, or you're in a car? What should you do? Who are the right people to talk to? Who should you stop and speak to? It changes from where you live, who you are, the confidence, the age of the child. But have you updated these ideas recently, and have you had a conversation about what do you do if you're lost? This is a really important thing that we're doing at the moment since we move quite regularly. They tend to remember a house or two behind. This is what we used to do, and this is what we should be doing right now. And of course, as we've gotten older, there's different things that they're able to do and not to do. So this is a really good practice one. A really good practical skill is to have that conversation. What would you do if we got lost? Another one that I found is a very personal one for us is the ability to put a pillowcase back on. My son found a giant pillow. I have no idea where we got this giant pillow from, but it's a giant pillow and it goes across the width of his single bed. It's huge. and he's determined that he wants to use this pillow. I have a feeling it was probably a pregnancy pillow at some point, maybe, being so big, maybe a body pillow. But he insists on using this pillow, and at the moment he has a Minions set that he got from his for his birthday, and he has the Minion pillowcase. And so one of the contributions is to take the pillowcases off and wash them regularly. That's somebody's contribution. And he gets to put his pillowcase back on, and he's having such trouble putting his pillowcase on at the moment, learning how to put it in, and the frustration is there. And that's okay. He's learning. Part of it is because he has a giant pillow, but he is actually asking to put on the pillowcase for his brother so that he can practice. And we've been doing this successfully now for about 3 weeks, and he can almost put it on by himself. Now, I'm not worrying that he is taking 3 weeks. Is that good or is that bad? But I can see the progress that he's making. It's not a big deal. He just sees that the pillow has no pillowcase. He knows that the pillowcase has to go on, and he's working at it. It's an essential life skill to be able to put a pillowcase on, in our opinion, in our family. It's something that he's practicing, and he is almost there to be able to do that. We had a fun time the other day in the supermarket when we were looking at unit price, special offers, 2-for-1, bog off deals, buy one, get one free, as we shopped. And we were trying to get some tomato sauce, I think it was, this time. And so we actually spent a little time comparing prices, and just in the aisle where we were, I could send the boys down the aisle and say, find me the best quality or find me the best price, and I want you to tell me why you think so. And so they came back with all sorts of reasons, and it was pretty cool. We had a really good time analyzing and looking at it. We had the time that particular day to be able to do that, but of course during the summer we'll be able to do things like that. Actually being able to teach the kids how to work a supermarket, how the end plates, I think that's what they're called, where the special offers are, having a look at the 2-for-1s, having a look at the unit prices and seeing where you can be tricked sometimes, is something that we're trying to teach them to regularly be careful about what they're looking at. This is an older skill, but it's well worth getting them tuned in. And to be honest, it's really handy to stop them attacking each other and playing about when you're trying to shop. Shopping with 3 children is an interesting thing to do. And so sometimes if you can give them something to do while you're shopping, that can really help too. Load and use the washing machine. It's been on our contributions list, and it's one of the contributions that we have been doing. I've been using the word contributions a lot. If you're not sure about what contributions are, then go to the website, and I have a show all about contributions, and I explain in more detail there. Being able to use the washing machine, load and use the washing machine all by themselves. Not somebody come and check, have I put all the bits in the right places, but they feel confident to put all of the clothes in the machine, set it, and it can go. That's a really important skill. The 2 children can do that. The 3rd one hasn't been shown, but can be shown, but not necessarily know how to do it. And I feel that that's a really important skill that they will learn to do. I would love it that they could wash their own clothes, but they don't. We don't wash a huge amount of clothes every week, so there just isn't the ability just yet to be able to do that. But I'm hoping that when they're on holiday during the summer, we can have a week or two where each child can be responsible for all the washing for that week, and then that would help them establish that particular habit. This one is a life skill or a practical skill that applies to many different countries. It's really interesting. When we lived in Italy, it was customary for you to push your duvet and your sheets out the window. I believe it was to air it out. Maybe I was wrong. And to open your windows and let all the fresh air come in. It was brilliant. It's something that we just got used to doing. Before I had children, we were doing that, and now it became part of our routine to be able to just hang your duvet out the window. Well, of course, the first few times that I did it, if you didn't balance it right, the heaviness of the duvet meant boom, it fell down to the ground outside and kind of defeated the purpose because you had to bring it back upstairs or wash it, depending on where it fell. It's something that we enjoy doing is airing out our duvets and our pillows and our bed sheets, if we can, is to put them out the window whenever we've been able to. At the moment, we're not able to do that here where we're in the States because we have the screens that are over our windows. But if we've lived in a country where we've been able to do that, we do that. We have a single floor at the moment. If we were on two floor house, we would hang it from the banisters and achieve something similar. And at the moment, what we tend to do is we go outside and we hang it outside. Now, of course, in some places, there is a laws, HOA laws, which mean you can't hang certain things or they be visible. So you really have to pay attention to what's culturally and legally acceptable where you are. Learning to hang a duvet and bed sheets out the window without dropping them, I think, is something that is a real treat if you can learn how to do it and the reason behind why you might do that. It also reminds them of where they've lived and the fact that not everybody does the same thing all around the world. We all do so many very different things and neither is right or wrong. It's just an experience to do something so different. Another thing is to be able to skip. A practical skill is to be able to skip. We live in a very hot place during the summer, and yet I want them to still be able to be active. So they will go outside and they still will do things, but just the idea that I can send them into the garage and they can skip for a little bit, the coordination that happens with skipping. I have three boys. Coordination doesn't always come easily for the three of them. And so they can go in the garage and skip. That sensory input of the jumping against the floor is something that all three of them crave. And so that's something else I just want to encourage them to do. It's a really great way of getting the heart rate up, of doing exercise. It's fun. You can be competitive. You don't have to be competitive. We are looking at skipping as a practical skill that even adults do as we get older. Another practical skill and life skill that all children should be able to do is call a relative on the phone, hold a simple conversation where they have to listen, respond, and follow with the conversation. Now, it sounds a really easy thing to do, but there's so many different variations of phones, whether that's landline or mobile. They've got to be able to find all of the numbers, and you can have 7 to 10 digit numbers now, and all that one-to-one correspondence of looking at the number, pressing the right button in order, in a timely manner, and then pressing send or being able to get the number in sequence. Actually respond when the person picks up the phone, know what to say, hello, have that little bit of conversation at the very beginning, having a simple conversation, actually direct the conversation, know what they're going to talk about, listen to what the other person is going to say. It's quite hard work if you think about it. Being able to respond to what that person is saying and they respond to you. Sometimes they don't hear. You have to repeat things and not get frustrated. You get distracted by what your brothers and sisters are doing around. It can be really tricky to keep a conversation going. So this is something that we've noticed during the year that they've not been really good at doing. Not just that, they've never really been taught how to have that type of conversation. So of course, it's not been as good as it could be. So at least if we give them some ideas about things that they can do, remind them about what they can do, then at least that they can try and do something different. Obviously, we're not expecting perfection. When you have a phone call with family, just making sure that they feel comfortable to be able to have a conversation. Take a photograph without cutting off the head or the feet. It's a funny thing. Kids love to take pictures and they're very quick about everything. And sometimes that's good, but you know, you still have to make sure that you've got all the bits in that you want to get in. If you just want the feet, that's great. But if you're trying to get everything in and you kind of cut the body off, then that's not so good. So this is one of the reasons why we're doing the photo challenge in July, to give a chance to actually take time to focus, and not everything is quick. Got time to really take a photo. So this is another thing that we're thinking of doing, is showing them how to use a camera. Now, if they want to go further and look at aperture and all colors and all these other things that you can do. Super great. They can do that in their own time. We just want to make sure that they can take a basic picture without all the blurs and feel confident to be able to do that. Another one that we're going to work on because we've got the time is spend gradually increasing appropriate times of unsupervised time with an adult around. Kind of a long-winded way of saying that you can be in your room playing with your toys, and I can be in another part of the house, and you'll be fine by yourself, and I can trust that you are okay. I'm not expecting you to have been writing on the walls or setting fire to the carpet or doing something inappropriate, but there's longer and longer times that I can leave you unsupervised and know that you will find something reasonable to do. This is a journey. The whole idea of being unsupervised, knowing that you have to occupy your own time. That phrase, I'm so bored, I don't know what to do. We know how this comes very, very quickly. And so this is something that we try and share with the kids, that you can spend time by yourself. Look at all of these things in your room. We kind of warm their room back up, remind them of things that they can do. If they want to just stare at the ceiling, go ahead. But we're trying to give them increasing amounts of time that they can learn to spend by themselves, doing creative tasks, practical things that they really do. And it's amazing when they get to do their Lego or they start building, they do amazing stuff. But you have to kind of get over this hump of, I don't know what to do, I'm so bored. And often with my three, at least, they tend to congregate together. So then that brings out the sibling stuff that can happen. So trying to get them to be unsupervised by themselves for increasing amounts of time, however, I am present. I'm around so I can see what's happening. I just want them to feel confident that they can be by themselves as much as they can be together. One, as I mentioned earlier, was we want to keep some herbs and vegetables and try and look at that life cycle. So we're actually going to do a little bit of planting of some seeds. Because we have such a hot summer here in Georgia, I'm hoping that we'll be able to do some more planting in May, for some of these things to come through. I like the idea of teaching habits. Now, the whole idea about simple herbs, vegetables, and flowers and keeping them alive means that we have to water them, we have to watch them, we have to see what's going on. This is a habit that we've got to do daily. And when we don't check, things happen. When we don't follow through, things will happen. And it will be really tangible because the plants will die or there'll be problems. And as the problems come along, we need to deal with them. And so I really like the idea during summer of trying these types of things. And this is something that we've done frequently. And frequently, we don't always have a good result, but we are trying to share what the life cycle would be like. This one is about safety, and it's be aware of the surroundings. Be aware of the surroundings. Now, in this day and age where we have iPods and hooked up to our ears and we're listening to music, we're often looking down at a screen, or I see lots and lots of children, and mine included, and walking around with their head in a book. They're not noticing what's going on around them. They don't see some of the obvious dangers that are going about. As parents, we just notice, like the hairs go up on the back of our neck if we see somebody that we think, they're a bit out of place. Why are they here? Or what are they doing? Or we don't like the way something is happening. We can just have a feeling because we're looking, we're observing, but children are often just being themselves and not aware of what's going on. I want to talk with the kids and not to scare them, but to start to make them be a little more aware of what they're doing. So when they're leaving the car, did they close the door, for example? That's a frequent thing that can get missed. As they're closing the door, is the seat belt in the door jamb? Are they going to slam it into that? As they're walking around, are they walking and there's going to be a low-hanging tree? and they slam straight into the tree branch because their head is down and they're not paying attention. Are there groups of people on the street that are a bit worrisome for all sorts of reasons, whether that's legitimate reasons or not, that you think maybe I should be on the other side of the road, or there's a problem that's happening down there and I shouldn't be where I am? There are so many reasons why we should be aware of our surroundings, and not all of them are frightening, and many of them are very, very practical. But just showing the children that we should be looking where we're going, things like not cycling with music going on in our ears, or noticing the people that are on their cell phones that when they're driving their car. We have to be aware of what's going on and anticipate what's happening. If you're riding your bike along the road, that you're careful because you have to notice what the cars are doing, not just you on your bike, but you've got to be aware of whatever people are doing too. So it's kind of teaching them the safety of being aware of the surroundings so that you can be safe yourself. And the last thing that I think that we're going to look at as a family is the interrupt rule, which we've talked about before. When people are having conversations, learning how to come into that conversation yourself and say, "Excuse me, mom," or you want to be able to ask a question, knowing how to do that successfully. There are so many different ways that you can do that. Many families have found different ways of doing that. Maybe it's just a hand, maybe it's raising your hand, maybe it's interrupting, maybe it's just saying, "Mum, mum, 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 mum," like lots of families, but actually having something that you are happy with. And I know that there's been plenty of times when the children have interrupted and just didn't know how to interrupt well. And that's our fault. We just didn't share with them one way of doing that. So I've gone through about 12 different life skills, and I have a really long list of other life skills that I can think of and that I've researched and seen about, and I'm sure you can think of lots of ideas too. I wanted to tell you about my experiences at Mum 2.0. That was the conference that I went to in Arizona last week, but I'm trying to keep my time down on the show, and I can see already that we are running really long, and I really wanted to just make sure that this was a focus was on practical life skills and give you a taster and kind of get you excited about doing this action for yourself. I'd love to hear your ideas about life skills, and I'll talk about the Mum 2.0 conference, I think, next time in the show, the next show. I'll have plenty of time to talk about it then. But I'd love to hear your ideas about life skills. What things have I missed out? What things would you include in life skills that you really want your kids to learn, that you think, you know what? We should really work on this because I want them to know what it is, and I want them to practice and have that habit and that trial and error right now while we have the time to do that together. Have I missed any out that you're saying, you're shouting at the microphone at your screen now? You've missed this one. Please tell me, what will you be trying this summer? Pop on over to the show notes, which is raisingplayfultots.com, show number 173. That's raisingplayfultots.com/173, and leave your comments. I really appreciate that you've been here today, and I know that there are many things that you could be doing right now, and I'm glad you've chosen to be here with us. I hope something that I have said has triggered you to investigate something more and helped you make a decision for you and your wonderful family. If you've enjoyed this show or any of the other shows, please consider giving a rating or review on Stitcher or iTunes. That way, other people can find out what you'd think about the show and your opinion so that they can decide whether they like this show too. It really helps. Oh, I almost forgot. I have a Mother's Day question for you with Mother's Day this weekend. So if you're listening anytime before the 10th of May, 2015, Mother's Day is coming up. Just between you and me, we know the kids aren't listening. So just between you and me, What would be your idea of a great Mother's Day? This is the one time you can share the answer to this guilt-free. What would be your idea of a great Mother's Day? I know that whatever the kids do or don't do will always be just fine for you. But if you could say, come on now, if you could say, what would it be? If you send them in to raisingplayfultots.com/173, there's details there whether you want to call it in and tell us on a recording, or whether you want to email it, whether you want to tweet and or Instagram or leave a comment. All the details will be over there at the website, raisingplayfultots.com/173. And of course, I would love to share them without your name, of course. I was talking to a few ladies this week previously who were thinking that they would love to escape to the library or a coffee shop for a few hours. That would be just the best Mother's Day gift that they could receive. They would love that. And then they were also feeling really guilty about that because it's Mother's Day, so shouldn't they be spending it with the kids? So which one is your bliss? Spending time away or spending with the kids? I don't know. What do you think? See you again next time. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 173. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime and simple parenting. Goodbye!